The aftermath of the Parkland School massacre in Florida has created a platform for conversation about solutions and prevention of school shootings. Among the topics has been security in schools. The subtopic of that topic, that's been the idea to arm the teachers on a voluntary basis. This is an idea that President Trump and others see as an asset. Some schools have actually already instituted the idea. Texas brings to mind a couple of cases. My first guest today says that would be the wrong idea to embrace. She is the president of the NJEA, Marie Bliston. Thank you for being here today, Marie.
Thank you, Chris.
And the website, of course, is njea.org. And albeit in its infancy, the idea is that gun-adept teachers and staff would be carrying concealed firearms classrooms and schools, protect the students. They would be given a bonus. They would go through all the training, background checks, as if they were just going, as anyone else would go to, for a right-to-carry permit. And that's part of a package. They also want to boost them in MAGE for the purchase of assault-style weapons, which I've actually seen some businesses get ahead of the government on that plan. But getting to the schools and the concept of arming teachers, what is your viewpoint on that idea?
Well, Chris, I first want to say on behalf of our members that we reach out with solidarity with the parents and the community in this latest tragedy of gun violence. And I would tell you that we stand, as we have always stood, to support our students, to keep our schools safe, to keep them healthy. And we are adamantly opposed to harming educators as a response to this gun violence.
Does the NJEA have a stand on outside contracted armed security, specifically retired police officers, military veterans who would be a part of a security force who would be armed that would be official security for a school?
Well, I think in our state, actually, we have a number of legislative pieces that have been put into place that do allow what we call school security resource officers.
Right.
And that is up to each community. We are very big believers in local control, local decision-making.
So where's the difference then, the separation between that concept and the arming of the teacher? Again, with the idea being, and this would also be on a state-by-state basis, this wouldn't be a federal edict, at least in this point in time, where a teacher would have to go through the rigorous in New Jersey, probably the most rigorous background check. It would be voluntary. And in some cases, there are teachers in schools who are already adept at firearms, whether it be for personal home protection, hunting, or a combination of the two.
Except that our primary concern as a teacher, and look, I've been in the classroom for well over 30 years. I've had kindergarten through 12th grade students. My background, my degree, my thrust, my focus is on children and teaching them. And that's really what our primary concern is in schools, right? We cannot solve this problem solely by focusing on our schools. It is a societal issue. In this country, we have, I read someplace that there's an average of about 1,300 children under the age of 17 that have been killed by firearms. And what we know is that every time, or if there is a firearm in vicinity, there are more likely to be not only killings, but also people who are hurt by killings. I think we need to not divert attention from what the main problem is in this country, and that is that the guns need to be controlled. I mean, these firearms, the assault rifles, they're meant to kill people. This is absolutely insane that there is even conversation other than talking about what we should be doing on background checks, what we should be doing on controlling the sale of guns, and not diverting attention from what it is that we do in our public schools.
Going with Marie Bliston, who is the head of the NJEA, NJEA.org is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Something we've seen, too, had someone on the show not too long ago. I replayed the segment just last week. There are a variety of companies that come in and do security assessments of schools, mainly the structural security, security systems. Certainly metal detectors are a nice starting point, but someone can easily run through a metal detector. I mean, there are systems now where the greeter at the entrances will be behind bulletproof glass. There's a short, almost corridor-like structure, which if someone is walking in with a gun, which is most likely and usually obvious to see, they would, with a mere push of a button, be locked in that short corridor and couldn't either shoot or force their way out. Is that a greater aspect, even though it could be a costly aspect financially, that schools should be looking at?
Well, again, I think when I look at our legislation in our state, we have a number of things already in place. We have mandatory training that is conducted with all school employees on a yearly basis. That training is conducted by statute with law enforcement or the first responders. A law enforcement officer is required to be present at least at a minimum of one security drill. There is now in law a New Jersey School Safety Specialist Academy at the New Jersey Department of Ed, and every school is required to name a designated administrator as a school safety specialist for the district. When I go in and out of schools around the state, I see various measures. Most schools have some surveillance inside of the buildings, and there is money from the state that's available to make sure it's connected to the local, the local enforcement agency in that area.
I want to get a related idea, too, because part of the aftermath of the Parkland, Florida shooting has been a rise in the voices of the students. Many say that those are voices which have been showing more leadership than our so-called elected leaders, both in Trenton as well as down in Washington. And part of their reaction has been for class walkouts, not to any significant amount of time, but certainly a show of solidarity and self and mutual empowerment. Has the NJEA given any guidelines for teachers to how to react when students do walkouts? For example, I know the New Jersey ACLU was concerned that those students might be more harshly punished than those who skip class to go to the mall, for example.
Well, we have put out some guidelines to our members stating that we want to be very careful with encouraging any students to do any walkout. We don't encourage that, but we do encourage our students to participate in with their civic responsibility and raise their voices to demand that there is attention and that there is meaningful action being done, not only in our state but across the United States. We have encouraged our members to speak with our administrators and the school boards, and I believe they are totally on board in having meaningful activities done through the school system. There is a day on April 20th that we are working with our national organization and the other unions, in fact, to calling for a day of action, and where we will be promoting some organized activities across this state and across the United States.
She is the president of the NJEA, the website njea.org. Marie Blister. Marie, thanks for being here today.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Thanks for talking about this important topic. And let's hope for some meaningful change.